So awesome tonight. Turn to John chapter 3. Robert, you think you could toss me a bottle of water? This one I've got is about empty. It's not going to cut it. John chapter 3. Thanks. Are you ready tonight? Come on, we don't need you sleepy on a Wednesday night. The Lord's about to speak a word to you, I'm telling you. I was about to explode in a million different directions. I'm telling you, sometimes before I get up to preach the word, I just can't stand it. I'm just like, man, are they ever going to call me up? Every minute seems like an hour. It's just the fire of God burning like in my bones. The message tonight is increase without measure. Increase without measure. I want to read in John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 34. Actually, we're going to finish in verse 34. We're going to start in verse 30. And Jesus said, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth." It's really interesting what Jesus says here. He that comes from above is above all, but he that is earthly is from the earth. What are you speaking tonight? What are you saying? What are you believing? And what are you seeing tonight? Is it something that's from the earth or is it something that's from above? Where are you getting your information? Hallelujah. God has increase without measure for you. If you can get your information from above, if you can get your revelation from above, you're going to begin to see increase without measure take place in your life. Hallelujah. Increase without measure taking place here at Calvary Cathedral. And I'm telling you tonight that this front section is going to begin to fill up in these evening services. Hallelujah. Pastor said it several weeks ago in the staff meetings. It's time for increase in these evening services. And I'm just echoing what the man of God said. Hallelujah. It's coming to pass. I'm telling you, you're going to have to start to come and fight for your seat in these evening services. Glory to God. I don't know how God's going to do it or what he's going to do. It doesn't matter. I just know what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Increase without measure. Where are you getting your information tonight? In verse 31, he that comes from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. If you go back through the past 7 days of your life, what have you been speaking? Have you been speaking of the earth or have you been speaking from above? Awesome what Jesus is saying here. He that comes from heaven is above all. You can put yourself in that position where you are above all. When you begin to speak words from heaven, then you begin to position yourself as somebody that's coming from heaven. Your words are from heaven, and God places you above all things. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we've got to position ourselves in the right place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I'm telling you, I got to stir you up tonight. Glory to God. Verse 32, and what he has seen and heard, and he that testifies, no man receives his testimony. That's talking about no earthly man receives it. We'll read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 33, he that received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, in the King James, they have those words unto him in italics. And basically what that means is the translators added those. That was not in the original Greek. So let me just read this again. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure. So God's not giving it just to particular people, but this is available to every single person. Every single person that begins to take their eyes from down here below and begins to look on things above, set your eyes on things above, begin to set your ears on things above. I'm telling you, in the middle of catastrophe, in the middle of disaster, in the middle of trouble and challenges, if you can begin to set your ears on things above, if you begin to set your eyes on things above, you'll begin to rise up above the things of this earth. And I'm going to preach to you in a few minutes that that's the very circumstance that God begins to speak to you the word. And when you can get a hold of that, you're going to begin to rise above the things of this earth. Hallelujah. And you're going to begin to have things and begin to have increase without measure, just like Jesus had it. Because when you get the word of God mixed with the Spirit of God, that God does not give without measure, there is increase without measure for your life. You say, David, why are you going psycho tonight on a Wednesday night? I'm telling you, because God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for this city. God has a plan for this nation that is greater than what can be seen in the realm of the natural. Hallelujah. Wish we had that other pulpit. I'd be banging that thing and hitting it. If I hit this thing as hard as I did that old pulpit, I'd break this in half. I did that in Denton once, Denton, Texas, and I learned my lesson. And I was up there preaching away, and I was like, hallelujah, wham! That pulpit like folded in half and bounced back up, and I thought, Lord, I almost broke the thing. It wasn't going to be a Tommy Tenney Holy Ghost thing, you know, where it snapped by the Spirit of God. It was going to be the flesh. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has increase without measure. God has increase without measure. Scientists, secular scientists, it's awesome to see how science is proving the Word of God to be true. Those of you, I don't know if any of you are like me and you want to pay attention and kind of see what's going on with the atheists and the agnostics, but there was a guy who died recently named Christopher Hitchens, and he was a leading atheist and had all these debates and things, and so I was like, what is this guy talking about, you know, that so people think is so anti-Christ and proving God wrong? And there was a debate with him and another religious, unfortunately, just a religious professor of Christianity, not spirit-filled. And in this debate, Christopher Hitchens made the comment that when you study science, it's inevitable that in so many hundreds or thousands of years, they don't know when, but it's inevitable that our galaxy, maybe not the entire universe, but our galaxy is going to explode and burn with, it is just going to catch on fire and burn up. And he said, this proves Christianity is not real, because why would a loving God create a galaxy that's going to explode and blow up? And just to answer that, when you look at light, things in the light of eternity, we're going to be in heaven. The people that have served God are going to be in heaven. Who gives a rip what's burning? I mean, if you just were living on poor dump street and you had a house that was worth $5,000 and you moved out of that shack and somebody gave you a mansion that was worth $10 million and you saw on the news that your old shack caught on fire and burned down, you're going to be glad. Thank God I don't have to drive down that block and look at that ugly thing again. Well, the Bible says, Peter said that there's going to come a time when the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And I thought, my goodness, why can't this religious professor see that Christopher Hitchens trying to dispute Christianity just proved it right? But scientists are continually proving the Word of God to be true. There was a study that I saw on cable. I can't remember what station this was, but within the last 20 years, there's some excavating that they do in ice. They have found that the ice caps, the polar ice caps and glaciers, have some of the best, most articulate records of the history of the earth of anything that can be found anywhere. Because things that happen in the atmosphere happen that in the air, anything that happens significant in the earth gets caught up in the air. If there's a bomb, if there is an explosion, sawdust at the tent revival. Anybody remember that? Lord have mercy. Just so you know, next time we put the tent up, I'm getting some commercial carpet. I'm never buying sawdust again the rest of my life. It's going to come down. And events, large events that have taken place in the earth over the past 6,000 years can all be found precisely buried down in ice, because what happens is it gets caught up in the atmosphere. The dust particles of some kind of event get in the atmosphere, and as they begin to fall down to the ground, they go all over the earth because of the winds and the Gulf Stream, whatever all that is, and they fall down on the ice, and then it freezes, and it's a perfect record that's just untouched, and it's very accurate. And they said that they have found in two or three different places around the earth that date, all three of them date exactly precisely to the same date as all of them together. In unison, date that there was a big catastrophic event that took place, and they began to research it and looked and said, this looked like it was a meteorite that came and hit the earth. And they began to research it more and more, and they said, well, it looks like it was in this region. And then somebody said, well, that sounds like that was Sodom and Gomorrah. And sure enough, when they dated what the Bible had to say from Sodom and Gomorrah back to what all these ice records were saying, it was the same date as what the Bible had to say that Sodom and Gomorrah took place. Hallelujah. that they've discovered and said that there was a meteorite that came, and as it came into the Earth's atmosphere, it caught on fire like anything would, and it rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is kept in the records of the ice caps all around the world, and they have found it. Scientists that were not even trying to prove the Bible accidentally proved it true, and they knew that they did, and they made a television show about it. Hallelujah, because God knows what He's doing. Now, I've heard scientists also talking about the Big Bang Theory and how they have said that they are tracing back the beginning of the universe, and the best that they can tell that there was one matter ball or matter of substance, I heard somebody say just even a few inches in diameter, where they can see they've traced back the universe, because the universe is expanding at the speed of light right now. It's still expanding. Secular scientists that don't believe the Bible will tell you that. The universe is still expanding. So if you have an explosion somewhere, if you have an explosion here on the platform, then this rail here, if the explosion takes place right here, this rail here is going to go that way. If I'm standing right here, I'm going to go this way. And this rail here is going to go that way if this pulpit was just to explode. If you had a bomb right here, things are going to go straight out. And then you can come back later and you can see, well, this thing exploded this direction. David exploded over here. Here's an arm. Well, I don't want to get too graphic. Let's go to this arm rail over here. This handrail went this way. And you can triangulate and say, well, here's a line and here's a line. And basically triangulate and find where the original explosion took place. And doing that, just basic science, they have looked and seen, well, here's the universe expanding in this direction and that direction. They believe that they can trace the universe back to a little section, just like so yay big, you know, that it's kind of a theory, but where the universe started from a Big Bang. Now, they've got that much right. The part that they've missed is how the Big Bang came about. I want you to know that God spoke and the universe came into existence. And I was, as I preached a few weeks ago, Keys to Unstoppable Increase, I was thinking, Lord, what's your, and sometimes the Lord will answer your question before you finish asking it. It makes you feel real smart. You know, He'll answer the question before you even get it out of your mouth, out of your heart. And I'm, Lord, what is about, and before I can even get the question out of my heart, He said, He showed me about the universe expanding at the speed of light. And that is God's measure of increase. When God talks about increase, when He talks about the power of words, that in Hebrews 11, that we understand by the Word of God, that the universe was thrown into existence, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that's what God, when He talks about increase, that's the increase that God has in mind when He talks about increase for your life. That's the increase that God has in mind when He talks about increase for Calvary Cathedral, when He talks about increase for churches around this nation that are preaching the full gospel. He's talking about increase at the speed of light, a universe that is still increasing and it has never stopped. And I want you to know that same power, according to John chapter 3 verse 34, has been placed on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You have the same ability to get something by the Spirit of God and speak it and see increase take place without measure. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's my job tonight to put this word in you and just set a bonfire on the inside of you that's so strong you can't get away from it. Because it's God's plan to fill this front section just for starters on Sunday and Wednesday evenings. We've got explosive power, glory to God. It's something that the secular scientists, not even trying to prove the Bible true, have accidentally stumbled upon, and it's impossible for them to get around. I saw another documentary where they talked about black energy, dark energy, or actually it's black energy. And they said that there's stars, and, you know, like our sun is a star all over the universe. And you know, there's energy coming out from those, but they have discovered that between the stars is this immense blackness. I don't know how they figured this out, but they said in that blackness, there's energy in the blackness. And they cannot... And as they said, it's about 98% of the energy in the universe is not from the sun. The suns and the stars provide about 2 or 3%. The other 97 or 98% of all the energy in the universe is this black energy where there's just nothing there. They can't tell you where it comes from or how it originated or what it's doing. They just know that there's energy there and out in outer space, in the black outer space. That's the Word of God, the quickening. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Man, when God spoke that original word and spun the universe into existence from that little ball of explosion, the Word of God exploded. Hallelujah. And there's energy all over the place and people can't, begin to understand what God's done. They prove that God's done it, but they can't understand it. Neither can we, really. But we can prove it and understand it by the Word of God. Increase without measure. Turn to John chapter 5. Just turn one page over and read verses 17 through 21. John chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. But Jesus answered them and said, "My Father works here too, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but also that God said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise." Let me read that again so we can get past the King James. "The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also do the Son likewise." Verse 20, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may also marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will." Let's read some more scripture. We're going somewhere with this, so just kind of put that in your memory bank here. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Many of you are familiar with these verses 10 through 12. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, "Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." Let me point out before we go on, Jesus made a transition from talking about words to works. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, verse 10, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." Did you notice that transition Jesus made? It went from words to works. Went from words to works. And then back again, I want to read this to you again in verse 34 of John chapter 3. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure." So here we have three things: increase without measure. That's increase. Increase without measure. But we have the Word of God, and we also have the Spirit of God. And so here in John chapter 5, I just read to you how Jesus only does what the Father did. And then John chapter 14, the same thing. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." In verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe for the very works' sake." Verse 12, "Verily I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." So I want to tell you tonight that you have got to begin to speak the Father's words by revelation. Just go back. We're going to make our principal verse here in John chapter 3, verse 34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure." So he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. So the first thing that we've got to do is begin to speak the words of God. Now, how many of you have ever heard somebody pray a prayer that shook heaven? And I'm telling you, it just, everything around shook. Like in Acts chapter 4, verses 29, when they began to pray and the Holy Ghost shook the place that they were in, and they went out with such boldness, and they began to have revival all over the place. But then you had somebody say, "Oh, that was a really good prayer." And they went and said, "I'm going to pray the same thing." And they preached it and they sang it, but there wasn't any kind of power behind it. You can't, it's not about saying just any words. You can say hollow words. I'm telling you, there are people that have the Bible half memorized, but there's not enough power in them to get a gnat's wing healed. They don't know anything about it, but you can get a guy that was just freshly saved out soul winning on the streets, and he's going to get somebody's blind eye to open up. Hallelujah. Because why is it? It's because they're hearing the words of God. So I want to tell you tonight that the first thing that you have got to do is begin to get revelation from the Father. Because if Jesus could not do anything of himself, if the Son of God himself that was full of glory, full of the Spirit of God, if he could not do anything of himself, but he could only do anything by seeing and hearing what the Father had to do, then you and I have got to get in the presence of God and we have got to see, what is God doing? And when you see what God is doing, I'm telling you, you're going to manifest what God is doing. And the words that you begin to speak, you could have said the same words an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours before with no power. But now, when you open your mouth, you're going to shake heaven and you're going to shake earth. Because it's speaking the words of God by the Spirit of God that brings increase without measure. Hallelujah. That's the power that resides on the inside of your spirit, man. And it's only given to the humble. I'm telling you what the prideful religious person wants to do. They want to take a little piece of the power of God, package it, and sell it, and say it's only going to go for an hour. It's only going to do this. We can only do that. We can't have this kind of altar ministry, and they want to package it and sell it. Why? Because they take a piece of the glory. They get, if this was God right here, they take a piece of the glory, they huddle it over here, and they compartmentalize it. They make it compatible for all the religious people that say we can only handle a 1 hour service on Sunday, but I want to go watch my 3 hour football game Sunday night. Don't give us a Sunday night service. Give me a break. I want to wipe the snot off your nose and then punch you in the face. So that's a hard thing to say. Well, if you traveled the field in the ministry, you'd understand a little bit more, but we won't go there. We just got to walk in love. So hallelujah. But see, the religious person gets full of pride because they want to take and package what God did. You know what? Let him do it. Hallelujah. Just let it go and walk in love. But we've got to be so close to the Father. We've got to be so hungry, so in his presence, Paul, that we are getting something. And when we get a revelation from God, we don't take it and run with it and say, thank you, Lord, I'll see you later. But we just stay right here with him. That's the mistake that Peter made when he was walking on the water. He had a revelation of Jesus that got him walking on the water. But as soon as he began to take that away from Jesus and say, look what I'm doing, my faith is getting me to walk on the water, he began to sink. You got to be humble to stay in this place. You got to, and I'm telling you, God will use circumstances. He'll work through circumstances to work humility in your life. But are you smart enough? Are you wise enough to stay humble and hungry before God and stay in his presence until you get something that's going to shake heaven, until you get something that's going to shake earth? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, because the devil's throwing distractions at you and he's saying, well, the phone's going to ring. I don't have time to spend in God's presence and I've got to get busy planning for the service that's coming up. I'm telling you, forget the plan. I'm telling you, we got to destroy the framework of religion and release the power of the Spirit of God by getting in God's presence and getting a hold of something that when we come out and we speak it, things begin to change. Hallelujah. And we have increase without measure. No limit to the increase that God has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure. That is, and if you take out that word, those words unto him, which are italicized, then you realize that it's just the nature of God. What this is stating is it's the nature of God to give the Spirit without measure to the person that is speaking the words of God. So to the person that is like Jesus, I'm telling you, if Jesus was this way, if Jesus, before he anointed the 12 disciples, had to spend an entire night in prayer, if Jesus, when he spent an entire night of prayer, came out in Luke chapter 5 and 6 with so much power emanating from him that everybody that touched him began to get healed, was completely healed and delivered from devils, if he had to get that close to the Father to maintain his life, if God himself had to do it, how much more do we need to stay in the presence of God and get the word from God? Hallelujah. We've got to speak the Father's words by revelation. Jesus didn't even speak his own words. He spoke the Father's words. He didn't even speak his own words, but he spoke the Father's words. It's not about praying by our own words. It's about the degree of revelation that we're walking in from the Father. I'm telling you, somebody can pray up a storm for 5 hours, but another person can spend 1 hour pressing in and getting to the presence of God and come out and just say one phrase, "Peace be still," and that entire storm's going to calm and he'll just keep walking on water. Meanwhile, the other person that's got some pride in the heart's up there praying up a storm. I'm telling you, they're on Facebook debating up a religious storm about why Christians should be allowed to drink alcohol and do all this stuff, and they spend more time arguing about that than they do getting people saved. But I'm telling you, somebody who's got full of the Spirit of God can get in the presence of God and come out with a word that's going to shake heaven. Hallelujah. It's not about praying our own words. Religious people love to pray and make sayings in front of people to be heard. It's not about praying our own words, but it's about the degree of revelation that we're walking in from the Father. Hallelujah. We have got to be hungry for Him and spend more time in prayer listening than we do talking. We've got to get hungry for Him and spend more time in prayer listening than we do the talking. There is a time to praise God. There is a time to express thanksgiving. We come into His courts with praise. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, then praise, and then comes rejoicing, and then comes worship. But there comes a time when you get into His presence, and it's time for Him to begin to talk. I love what Kenneth Copeland has said about people that had a visitation from the Lord. And he said, you can tell the spiritual maturity of others when they hear the story by the question they ask. Somebody says, I've had a visitation from the Lord, and the immature person says, what did He look like? The mature person says, what did He say? What is God saying? Hallelujah. What is God saying? Glory to God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is God saying? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We got to understand what a grim picture that this is painting here. The earth was without form and void. It was void. How do you draw a void? Remember, I preached this in Burma years ago, and I had to a little Bible school, and I had a student come up on a chalkboard, and I said, all right, now draw me void. I mean, you can't draw a void. You can't do that. But the earth was void. You know, that's an absolute impossibility in the realm of the natural, for the earth to be void. Are you following me? The earth was void? Well, maybe something in your life is void. Maybe your healing is void. When you look, oh man, that cancer's still there, the healing is absolutely void. God doesn't see it that way. He that is from above speaks the word of God and has the Spirit without measure. So as we read in John chapter 3, you're either going to be earthly and speak things of the earth, or you're going to speak things that are from above. God saw said the earth was void. You can't do that in the realm of the natural. Just like your healing, your miracle, your financial breakthrough, you can't say that you're healed or you're blessed and that you're a rich and prosperous person when it's something else in the natural. That's what the carnal mind wants to say. But I'm telling you, if the Word of God says it, then it's true. The earth, in the natural realm, you can't say the earth was void. That means the earth didn't exist at all, so there was no earth to be void. Do you follow my logic? You may think that's convoluted, but it's true. The earth can't be void. So what I'm telling you is a spiritual reality that when God has a plan for something, it is real whether we have seen it in the natural and whether the atheists and the agnostics and the religious people believe it or not. Hallelujah. When God has a plan, when God has a purpose, when God has something taking place in the realm of the Spirit, it is real whether we or other people understand it or not. It may look void in the realm of the natural. Revival that has taken over the city of Fort Worth may look void in the realm of the natural, but I'm telling you, if it's God's plan, then it is a reality in the plan and the will and the purpose of God. And blessed is the people that'll get a hold of that. Hallelujah. That's why we are not moved by what we see, but we move what we see. The earth was void, so who cares? Revival in the, and I'm talking about citywide revival, where the city is shaking with revival, where all 30 bars from the University and 7th Street intersection down to the Trinity River, all 30 bars selling alcohol are closed because they have no customers, not because there's religious people out there picketing them and just being little snots about it, but because revival has shaken the city so strong that they're closed down. I'm telling you, it may look void right now, but I know that Pastor Bob believes in the reality of this thing. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter. The earth was without form and void and darkness. Well, it gets even worse. Darkness. You know where God's going to choose his place and his time for increase in your life? It's when there's something in your life that is void. When there's something in your life that is without form. When there's something in your life that is full of darkness, all of a sudden that's where God wants to start and set up camp. For the move of God. All of a sudden things are going to begin to change. All of a sudden God's going to begin to speak. And if you're discerning in the realm of the Spirit, you will see what's coming up next. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Darkness, void, without form, chaos. But I'm telling you, it may look that way in the nation. It may look that way in the city of Fort Worth. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is moving over this city. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is moving over the city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish my voice was stronger to preach it like it needs to be preached. The Spirit of God is hovering over this city. Bars and sin and drugs and alcohol, religion, Antichrist all over the city of Fort Worth. Darkness upon the face of the city. But just keep reading. And there's an and that takes place. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'm telling you tonight that the Spirit of God is moving in this city. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is moving in your life. You may say my marriage is 6 feet under. You may say my finances are 6 feet under. My health is 6 feet under. The Spirit of God is moving in that area of your life. Hallelujah. He has increased without measure for you. The same way that he threw the universe into existence. And it's still expanding today at the speed of light. If you can get a hold of God's way of doing things. According to John 3. And not be earthly and of the earth and speaking things of the earth. But if you can get a hold of things that are above. And begin to speak the things that are above. You're going to manifest increase without measure. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, as I said several weeks ago. And his brother Charlie pulled out in the prayer meeting this past Monday night about pastor's ministry. 50 years, I'm telling you, that locomotive steam engine of the Pastor Bob Nichols ministry has got so much speed, there's no mountain in hell, no mountain on earth that can stop what God is doing. And the word of God is that his greatest efforts are yet to come. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it's taking place right here. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There is a reserve of power laid up for the person that speaks the Father's words. You see, before the Word of God was even spoken in Genesis chapter 1, before the Word was even spoken, the Spirit of God was already moving. That's why it's so important that you get in the presence of the Father, that you have the attitude that Jesus had, and you say, I cannot move and I cannot speak without seeing God, seeing my Father do something, and I cannot move without hearing and seeing what He's doing. Because when you do, you're going to be right there. And God's going to lead you to the place that is without form. He's going to lead you to the place that is void, where darkness is all over the place, where all the religious leaders have run from because they're too scared to go there. Boy, that represents the lost and the unsaved community today. If there's one thing that in traveling around in the U.S. that I have noticed that we just took a hit from, in the ministry is so difficult to deal with is that the religious crowd in the United States do not care about evangelizing the lost. Just trust me on that. They do not care about evangelizing the lost. We were in one church. They don't care about evangelizing the lost. I'm just going to keep it as clean as I can. But that's where God sends the move of the Spirit of God. Well, the lost people, there's nothing but sin, debauchery. There's nothing but darkness all over that camp. I'm telling you, that's the place that God begins to move. He doesn't move in the places that are nice and pretty and clean with a bunch of religious jargon all over the place. He moves in the places where there's need. He moves in the places where there's hunger and there's want. He moves in the places where His lost sheep are dying away because He loves people. And the Spirit of God begins to move. So that's why it's so important to get in the presence of the Father and hear what He is saying and see what He is doing. Because that will lead you to the place that you never would have gone otherwise. And then all of a sudden you're going to speak the Word of God. And when you do, the Word that you speak is going to connect with the Spirit of God that was already there and moving and you had no idea. I want to tell you about your personal life right now. So many of you in this place have an issue in your personal life that is so dead and gone and buried, and you think there's no way. The Spirit of God is moving, and it looks this darkness and confusion in the realm of the natural, but that's exactly where the Spirit of God is moving. And there is no answer that you need in your life that God has not already provided. There is no manifestation that God does not already. If you could pull back the veil of the Spirit and begin to see there's no answer, no manifestation, no breakthrough, no miracle for your life that God has not already got His Spirit moving and brooding and at work for you. So if you can just hear from the Spirit of God and begin to know what He's saying and what the Father's doing, you're going to be supernaturally led to that place that you never would have gone otherwise, and all of a sudden the miracle and the breakthrough is going to take place. God's got increase without measure for you. This is how He did it, and that's how we do it. There is a reserve of Holy Ghost power. See, this Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters was a reserve of spiritual power. God has a reserve of spiritual power for you. Laid up. God has a reserve of spiritual power that here at Calvary Cathedral, as we've heard pastor say in the last few weeks, that we've turned a corner here at Calvary Cathedral. That reserve of spiritual power, I'm telling you, we've poked through that thing and it's begun to pour out here in this church to the rest of the city. And we just continue to press in and see that it's going to begin to explode to a greater degree. Hallelujah. God has a reserve of spiritual power. It's not up to us to try to pray through and conjure up something that never existed. It's up to us to pray and hear from God and tap into what God already has. Glory to God. That's how you get increase without measure. If you want to get struggle and defeat without measure, then you do the opposite. You go try to create your own answer. You go try to do your own praying and not submit yourself to the Lord, and it's not going to work. There is a reserve of Holy Ghost power laid up for the person that speaks the Father's words. Your words become spirit and life when you use them the same way that Jesus does. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Your words become spirit and life when you use them the same way that Jesus does. I want you to read this here in Jonah chapter 2. I thought this was real interesting. Hallelujah. Jonah chapter 2. Nothing like flipping through the Old Testament with one hand. If anybody finds Jonah chapter 2, you're well. Oh, here it, I found it. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 10. And you know the story. "And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." The Lord spoke unto the fish. I mean, if you'd have asked me before I read this and noticed this a few days ago, I would have thought, well, the Lord sent Gabriel, and Gabriel just grabbed the fish by the nape of the neck and guided him to the seashore. But the Lord spoke. The Lord does things by speaking the word. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, we understand that when God breathed into Adam the breath of life and it made him a living soul, that also means that He made him a speaking spirit like God. In other words, God gave you and me, if you notice, there's no other part of creation that has the liberty and the ability to speak whatever they want, not even angels. Not animals, not angels. We are in a different God class than anything else. And God has made us a speaking spirit like God. So when you begin to get in the presence of the Father, you come out and you're speaking the words of the Father. You begin to operate just like Jesus did. There's no higher level to go to. This is the way that he caused the whale to spit Jonah up on the ocean, on the seafront. It's the same way that God's going to speak and work in your life. He spoke the word and the fish moved. You speak the word, you're going to operate and begin to move the same way that Jesus does. He has given you and I the same power, hallelujah. Increase without measure by the Spirit of God when we speak the words that God speaks. Hallelujah. It's important to speak what the Father says when he says it. No delays. Don't overthink it and don't overpray it. Just obey. It's important to speak what the Father says when he says it. Don't overthink it and don't overpray it. Just obey it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you hear by revelation from the Father is ultimate power because it's already done and laid up in reserve. The Spirit of God was already hovering over the deep before the Word of God was spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I sense increase in this house. In these evening services, this front section filled up for starters. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's increase in this house. Hallelujah. As Greg Moore prophesied back in 2013, he said that there's going to be a continual revival that's going to take place in this house. He didn't know how it was going to take place, but he saw a continual revival that was going to take place in this house. And he said, Pastor would know how to run this thing. And if there's any preacher, pastor in the world that knows how to do that, it's Pastor Bob Nichols. I'm telling you, this is starting to happen. What are you seeing? Are you close enough to the Father that when you hear pastor speak, you think, oh, I heard the Lord say that 10 minutes ago. We were in a staff meeting a few weeks ago, and I was thinking, man, it sure would be good to do a Monday night prayer meeting. I'm serious. That was in the Wednesday night service. I don't remember when it was. I was thinking it would be real good to do a Monday night prayer meeting. And within the next 15 minutes, Pastor said, you know, Charlie, let's do a Monday night prayer meeting. Help me remember to announce that Sunday morning. Are you close enough to the Father that when Pastor says something or Brother Dan is up here preaching that you think, I heard that the other day by the Spirit of God. When Johnny and Kevin and Joe sing something, that was the same song that I was getting ministered to all day yesterday. I was playing, I put that thing on repeat. Are you close enough to the Father that you begin to hear things that are current by the Spirit of God that God is doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get in the Spirit and get revelation from the Father. Speak it and see increase without measure. You must decrease in order to increase. This is the last thing that I want to tell you tonight. You must decrease in order to increase. John chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. So you have to decrease before you can increase. And in John chapter 5, verse 19, let's finish up there and read that last verse. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. See, even Jesus decreased. Amazing. I mean, if I was God preordaining the universe, I would not have had that in there. It would never have occurred to me to have my son have to decrease in order to increase. But even Jesus said, I say unto you that the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also do the Son likewise. Jesus even had to decrease. In Philippians, it said he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Hallelujah. God has increased without measure for you. Glory to God. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Hallelujah. Telling you that the anointing of the Spirit of God, the power of God is so strong here right now. The most unfortunate thing that could happen is if there would be one single person out of all the people here tonight that have heard the Word of God preached and received breakthroughs. So many of you have received. The most unfortunate thing that could happen is if there was just one person here tonight that left these doors and didn't even know for sure you were going to make heaven. If there's anything that's between you and Jesus tonight, I'm here to tell you the most important thing that's going to take place all night tonight, all during your day today, is that you get your life right with the Lord right now. Whatever it is, you may say, David, I have been so offended at my dad for what he did to me years ago, and I've been running from God. And I'm telling you, Jesus bore that offense. He bore the pain. He took the pain and the shame that you have had to walk through. The very thing that has driven you away from God is the thing that Jesus has embraced and healed you of tonight. You cannot let anything get between you and Jesus tonight. Your eternity is at stake. Jesus is not surprised or caught off guard by any sin, by any mistake that you've ever made, but He loves you. He was right there when you did it. If you could go back to that bad situation in your life when things went so difficult, when you first lit up a joint, you would see the blood of Jesus all over your life if you'll only receive it tonight. You may be in this place and you know your heart is not right with God. It's time for you to come to the front and get your life right with God tonight. If you were to die right now and you don't know for sure that you would make heaven, if you were to die right now and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would make heaven your home, it's time for you to make a decision. I want to pray with you right now. The Lord is speaking to you right now. And if you're also in this place, you may be somebody else that you know you're going to heaven, but you know also that your heart is not right with Jesus. There's something between you and Him. And you've been struggling to receive tonight because your heart's just not right with God. I want to pray with you too. You know you're going to heaven, but your life is not right. It's time to come to Jesus and get everything right before Him tonight. So if you're one of those two people, before we leave this service tonight, I'm telling you, God has put His entire focus on you right now, and it's time for you to make a move. If you're one of those two people, I want you to throw your hand in the air right now so I can see it and pray with you and pray for you. Just throw your hand in the air and wave it at me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, I thank you for that hand that went up in the back. If there's anybody else, the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. It's time to get right. There's not going to be a better time. Thank you for that hand. There's not going to be a better time. You can't put this off. You've got to respond when the Spirit of God is speaking to you. I'm telling you, there's no trouble, there's no pain, there's nothing in your life that is worth missing Jesus for. Hallelujah. He's so good. He's so awesome. He's so wonderful. Is there anybody else? I'm going to ask those of you, raise your hand to come to the front. But before I do, is there anybody else? You need to raise your hand and come down to the front right now. Raise your hand right now. If there's anybody else you haven't already raised your hand, just throw it up in the air so I can pray with you. Pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask those of you who raised your hand for this to step out of your seat. Take that next bold step right now. Step out of your seat and come down here to the front with me. And I'm going to pray with you and pray for you. I'm going to wait right here for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody else, now's the time to make your move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Y'all could just stand right here and face me. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Lord, speak into your heart. Thank you, Jesus. No turn. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No turn. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ernest and Linda, if y'all could come up here. If y'all might come up here. Just lay your hands on their shoulders. I want y'all up here at the front to pray this prayer after me. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is risen from the dead, that you shall be saved. You say, David, is it that easy? It's that easy for you because Jesus did the hard part. So I want you to place your hands over your heart and pray this prayer after me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to surrender your heart to Jesus. Just say this out loud with the congregation. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I come to you right now.
I come to you right now.
And I believe that you died on the cross.
And I believe that you died on the cross.
And that you rose from the dead.
That you rose from the dead.
To forgive all of my sin.
To forgive all of my sins.
You are the risen Son of God.
You are the risen Son of God.
The Messiah.
The Messiah.
I surrender my heart to you right now.
I surrender my heart to you right now.
Come in and be my Lord and Savior.
Come in and be my Lord and Savior.
Baptize me in the Holy Ghost.
Baptize me in the Holy Ghost.
And let me never be the same.
Let me never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bless these in the name of Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, sealed forever by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask y'all here, if you might turn with Brother David Giger. We're just going to pray with you just a moment longer. We'll release in just a few minutes. Y'all give him a hand clap tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.